Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome everyone to Junior Giant Speaks here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the show for children, about children, and by children. We're excited to be with you this morning and have the opportunity just to spend some time with you. As always, I'm happy to have my Junior Giants reporters standing by. Good morning, Junior Giants.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm happy to have them with us, but we're also very happy this morning to have our musical guest with us. She is an author, a songwriter, a recording artist, and about a dozen other things. We have with us Dr. Carolyn Vinson. Good morning, Dr. Vinson.
Good morning, Sharon. God bless you.
Yes, we're delighted. This is our pastor's wife, our first lady at High Point Christian Tabernacle in Smyrna, Georgia. And so we are happy to introduce her to our audience this morning. And we have several people calling in listening today. So we're really happy to have her with us. We are going to get started in just a moment. I want to, as always, thank my parents for helping the children to get ready and to allowing them to have this time. I want to thank the Junior Giants for their diligence and for their time that they spend on the conference calls and on preparing their stories. They're doing a great job. And we're just going to get ready and move along this morning. I do want to give a shout-out to Miss Amaya. She is one of our Junior Giant reporters. She wanted to be here. She had a story already. But then she remembered that she has a Christmas performance to be in this morning. So we want to give her a shout-out, and we're praying that she's going to be doing well today. Throughout the show, we're starting our Christmas season, so throughout the show, we are going to be giving you Christmas tips on how to keep Christ in your Christmas, because it is so easy to get so involved with the shopping and everything that goes on with Christmas, to kind of put Christ on the back burner. So this morning the children are going to be, they're going to hit on that just a little bit, but throughout the show I will be giving you pointers on things you and your family can do to keep Christ in your Christmas, because after all, that is the most important part. Okay, we're going to go on and get started. We're going to turn things over to our musical director, Miss Arielle Mack. Good morning, Arielle.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Are you ready to do your interview?
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Ariel. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Well, first off, I want to start off with that. When did you write your first song?
When did I write my first song?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was a young woman, probably I wrote my first song in the 70s, the early 70s was when I began to write songs, so it was quite some time ago.
I don't know, do you have any children and grandchildren, and how many?
Yes, the Lord has blessed me with 6 children. I have 6 daughters. And the Lord has also blessed me with 9 grandchildren. So out of the 9 grandchildren, I have 3 boys and 6 girls. So the girls kind of dominate the family.
Yeah. What is it like being a pastor's wife, and what are the duties of that position, or being in that disposition?
Well, being a pastor's wife entails a lot of things, and I thank God for preparing me, because I grew up in my parents' home, and my parents were pastors. So I got firsthand knowledge of what a first lady used to be to her husband and all of the things that it entails. But most of all, a first lady is there to support and undergird her husband, to stand with him and to help him bring the vision that God has given him to fruition. So the first lady plays a vital role in the support of the pastor, and she's his chief confidant, caretaker, so forth and so on. And she also works diligently in the ministry and uses whatever giftings and talents that the Lord has given her in help and support of the ministry. So she's there to give love and support on the home front as well as in the ministry. So she plays a vital role in bringing everything together and causing everything to flow peaceably, I'll say.
Well, on a personal note, where did you get your inspiration for Peanut Butter and Jelly?
That was a song that the Lord gave me actually in a dream. I had been to a musical one night, and when I got home, the Lord began to give me this dream, and in the dream I could see, like, it looked like thousands of people, and they had their hands up in worship before the Lord, and they were singing this song, "I don't want no peanut butter and jelly, I want my soul to be saved." But it was like just a vision of a sea of people with uplifted hands singing this song. And so the next morning when I got up, what I used to do and still do whenever I have an opportunity is when the Lord gives me a song, I would get up and, you know, gather my children. And this time it was at the breakfast table. So when I got all the girls up for breakfast, I began to teach them this little song. And from there, I took it to my little church choir. I have the House of Joy Children's Choir. So I presented the song to them as well. And we ended up recording it, and the Lord took it from there, and it actually became an international hit.
That's really good. It's like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, so are any of your children or grandchildren song writers? If so, do you believe that you are their inspiration?
Well, the gift of songwriting was given to me. My father was a musician and songwriter, and he actually was an entertainer prior to being saved. But after he got saved, he continued to write songs and play his instrument. But at some point, the Lord wanted him to focus more on his ministry. He had a great deliverance ministry. So he told me one day, he said, "Carolyn, the Lord spoke to me and told me that he was going to give that gift to you, and that you were going to be the one to kind of, you know, take that gift forward." So yes, the Lord has not only gifted me to write songs, but I have at least three of my daughters that write songs. And so the gift has been perpetual throughout our family. I have three or four daughters that write songs, and some of the grandchildren have begun to write as well.
That's really good. That's really good to know. So, like, who are your favorite artists? Like, that's what I'm looking at, no.
My favorite artist, I would have to go back to some of the older people that I kind of grew up with. Maddie Moss Clark had a great influence on my life as a writer. She was the head of the music department in the Churches of God in Christ, so everyone that grew up in my era was a huge Maddie Moss Clark fan. She wrote all of the songs for the Michigan State Choir, so she was a huge influence on me. My favorite male singer was James Moore, a phenomenal gospel singer. And I also was a huge fan of Shirley Caesar when I was growing up. The Caravans, oh my God. I loved the Caravans, the Davis Sisters. They were a popular female group in my day. So I think I was more or less influenced by some of the older pioneers of gospel music.
Okay. That's really good to know about where you got your kind of your inspiration for music. And like who inspires you musically? Like I know you just said like those artists and pioneers of gospel gave you the inspiration, but like who really in your to yourself you think really inspired you to write music and stuff?
I'll have to say that truthfully it's the Lord, because the Lord gave me that gift. And I have found throughout the course of my life that life situations, different trials and testings and different things that you go through in your life, those are oftentimes the catalyst and a birthing place for songs and for your ministry. So I would truthfully have to say that the Lord is the inspiration and the force that guides my music and inspires me and gives me the words to the songs and so forth. He's the force behind everything that I do. And my inspiration.
Okay. That's really, really, I don't know how to put it. It's just like God gives you something and sometimes you choose to like do it or ignore it, but you've chosen to do what God has given you. And so it's really been a really good journey for you in the past years. Well, what I've heard about, what my parents and people have been telling me about your journey throughout life and through music. And what advice would you give to young songwriters?
The advice that I would give any young songwriter is, as God begins to deal with you and speak to you, take your gift seriously. And always keep, you know, a little, if you have a little cassette recorder or digital recorder, when the Lord gives you something, sing it into your little recorder and keep it in mind and begin to develop it, and don't be ashamed to sing it, because that brings glory to God. And it also shows him that you appreciate the gift that he has given you. Because there was a time when some of my songs, you know, I wouldn't sing. It wasn't that I was ashamed of them, but I was just kind of sitting, you know, on the gift. And the Lord began to speak to me and tell me, you know, that he wanted to bless me. But I had to show him that I was willing to use the material that he had already given me. And as I began to do that, and he saw that I was faithful in that, he began to bless me. So I would tell every young, gifted person, don't be ashamed of your gift. Don't hide it. Sing your songs. Give glory to God through your songs. And you know, everybody is not going to be famous. Everybody's not going to be well known. But everybody can be used by God to bring him glory.
That's really good advice for them. You know, in the future, do you have any future musical projects in the works?
Yes, we're contemplating doing a family album. As I mentioned, the Lord has blessed me with 6 daughters, and in fact, I named my music publishing company in honor of my daughters. It's called My Six Music. So my six girls and I are contemplating doing a project. It's going to consist of praise and worship and some other gospel tunes, because I said several of my daughters write. So we're going to collaborate and do an album. And so I'm looking forward to that. And God has some other things in store for me as well.
I hope God blesses you on that album, and I hope it works out great for you.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. This has been Dr. Carolyn Vincent. I hope, Dr. Carolyn Vincent, that you have a great afternoon, and I hope that God blesses you even more. And I hope that he's going to give you more stuff to do throughout your life to help people and to really just inspire people to do what God has called them to do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with the Junior Giants today. And you all keep up the wonderful work that you're doing.
Yes, ma'am.
And Dr. Benson, we do want to thank you again. That was an excellent interview. Good job, Ariel. And I guess I've been sitting here listening, getting emotional, because sometimes when I listen to Dr. Vincent, sometimes I see myself. She's the first woman I've ever considered to be my spiritual mother. And so I can see myself in different areas of my life that are similar to her. So it means a great deal. I was kidding with her a few minutes ago and said it was like, or I wasn't kidding. This, to me, is as good as having Michelle Obama on my show. And so the Junior Giants really appreciate you being with us this morning. And I wanted to reiterate something that you said so that the children and those that are listening really understand. She said that even when she was a child, God was preparing her to be a pastor's wife. And so, young people, I want you to realize that God, you're not in the families that you're in by accident. You are where you are because God is preparing you for future greatness in your life. And greatness does not mean that your name is going to be up somewhere in boxcar letters and everybody's going to know your name. Greatness is that you are achieving a level of success that has been prescribed for you since God created the world. So he was thinking about you when he created you. He was thinking about you when he put you in the family that you're in. And he wants you to take away the things that you are supposed to take away from your family. Learn the things that your mothers and your fathers and your grandmothers and aunties are trying to teach you, because those things are going to carry you into your adult life. And so he was preparing her even as she was a child growing up in her parents' home so that she could take those things out into the world. And so I want you to understand another thing that she said was that everybody can be used by God. You may not be a songwriter, you may not be a preacher, but there's something, some gift that God has that's just for you. And you have to seek God and talk to him. I tell you that all the time. The way to get to know God is not just by going to church. It's by talking to him on a daily basis. And talk to him, and I promise that he will talk to you back. And so, Evangelist, we greatly, greatly appreciate you spending time with us this morning. And we would like to have you back again at another time.
Thank you so much, Sharon. I love you, and I certainly wish you well. I hope that God takes you to heights unknown with this ministry.
Thank you. And we're going to be blessed this morning. We have one of her songs. I do want to say the one song that she wrote, I Don't Want No Peanut Butter and Jelly, that really is a world-renowned song. And sometimes if you call certain agencies, they play that song as part of their mix when you're on hold. And I remember her talking about that she heard it on the airplane. And so this is a very popular song, very popular song. And so you want to go on YouTube and pull it up. You can hear it. Our music director did some research, and she was telling, she got very excited to do the interview, and she was telling us about the Truthettes. And it's the Truthettes that did the recording, so you can go on YouTube and enjoy that. But today we're going to enjoy her latest release, and I think this is outstanding because it just shows that she's not just reaching out to her generation. And she talked about the pioneers that she was in, you know, that were some of her favorites, but she is relevant in this hour because this is the hour of rap. Our children love it. They listen to it. They mimic it. It's in their spirit. And so if you're going to have a song in your spirit, young people, here's one for you to have. I would love for you to remember this one, and you can go bopping your head to this one because this is one you're going to like. I want to let you have a listen to What You're Getting High For. Okay, listen and enjoy.
The Spirit is upon me, and He has anointed me to rap. Let me tell you about some guys I know. They was sitting in the back of the church. Once they souls was white as snow, but now they lips is black. Been smoking weed, I've been told. I really don't know why. They used to dance, sing and shout from a spiritual high. The Lord said, what you getting high for?
What you getting high for? What you wanna die for? What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting high for?
Believe it. They just be getting high. The Lord said, what you getting high for?
What you getting high for? What you wanna die for? What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting high for?
Tell me.
just overdose.
I'm sorry, that was Dr. Carolyn Benson singing, What You Getting High For? And that's such a relevant song because it is just the song of the hour. And it lets you young people know that there's no reason to get high. It might seem fun, might seem like a thing to do, but there are so many other productive things that you all could be doing. So we're going to, we once again are grateful to Dr. Benson for being our guest this morning. We're going to get moving into our stories this morning, and we're going to start with our Christmas celebration. And once again, the celebration of Christmas is vital in our religion. I want to say to our listeners, one of the ways to keep Christ in Christmas is to daily talk about the purpose of Christmas during this season. How can you keep Christ in Christmas? And one of the things that is important is to talk about his birth and imagine what it was like when Christ came to the earth as a baby. They tell us in the Bible that his parents went to Bethlehem, but because of the census that had been called, there was no room for him. And they had to find themselves a place to hide out, to find shelter in a barn. And this lets us know that he is so much like many of us today. He was a regular person, but he was yet God in the flesh. And so they found room for him in the inn. And it wasn't in a nice place. It was where all the donkeys and the cows and all those things lived. So throughout this holiday, I want you to purposely think about Christ in Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Savior. So during the week, ask questions or give questions and see what people's answers are about keeping Christ in Christmas. And we're going to get started this morning with Grace. And her topic this morning is reaching out. How are you doing this morning, Grace?
Good.
Good. Go right ahead with your story.
I think reaching out to people is important because God gives you blessings, so I think you should help other people with the blessings you have. Other people have it worse than you do, and some people don't have enough food, clean water, and electricity. The holidays are coming, and some kids won't be able to get gifts. Christmas is all about the birth of Christ and giving, so you should give to people in need. There are organizations everywhere so you can help people. People say that you should make a difference, and this is your chance. Go and help people in need instead of yourself.
Okay. So, Grace, how are you going to be trying to reach out to other people for the holiday season?
There are organizations that we're helping, like the Red Cross and the United Help, I think it is, and Toys for Tots to help kids who got in the storm get the clothes and the food and some toys for Christmas that they need.
Okay. That's very good, because I've been really thinking about the young people or the children, because my godchildren they live in New Jersey, and so they were affected by the storm. They weren't as devastated as others, but can you imagine going days and days and days and days without lights, without clean water? And that's some of the things that they have endured. Even to this day, there are some that still don't have lights and clean water because the area was so devastated. And so I think reaching out to them, that's very good, Grace, at this time, because, you know, they're used to having Christmas one way, but this year their Christmas is going to be totally different. And so if you can reach out to them, that's great. And if you can't, it's a good time to pray for them, because prayer reaches everywhere. Okay? Good story, Grace. We're going to move along. We're going to go to Mr. Simeon. How are you this morning, Simeon? How are you this morning, Simeon?
I'm good.
Good. Tell us, what is your story about this morning?
My story is about how Santa Claus takes away from the true meaning of Christmas.
Okay. Go right here. What's your story, please?
Good morning. Today, never mind. Santa Claus takes away from Christmas because he takes away the true meaning of Christmas. It's about celebrating Jesus' birthday. And
okay. Hello?
Hello?
Are you done?
Yes, done.
Oh, okay. All right, well then, Simeon, tell me how does that happen? I mean, he can't do it. He's, you know, this character. How does he take away, how do we allow him to take away the true meaning of Christmas? How do people
well,
do that?
We allow him to take away the true meaning of Christmas by like, some people, like for their children, they dress up as Santa Claus, and they really don't celebrate the true meaning of Christmas.
Okay. And so how do you celebrate the real meaning of Christmas? What do you do?
Well, in the morning I get up and I pray and they say thank you for the day, and then I go downstairs and then open up my presents and they say thank you to Jesus and to my mom.
Okay. All right. So it is important that we, you know, we can listen to the stories of Santa Claus, but we have to know that it's about Christ and about Christ being born and coming into the world so that he could save us. Thank you, Simeon. We're going to move on with Miss Ariana this morning. And Ariana is going to also be talking about reaching out. Good morning, Miss Ariana.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Are you getting ready for Christmas?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how are you getting ready?
We're starting to decorate the house, and yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
Okay. This is such a wonderful time. It's a time when people seem like they're just a little bit more friendly, and I think that's a great thing. Go on with your story.
Okay, my paper is about reaching out to others this season. The world is set aside this time of year to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In this celebration, it is marked by givings of gifts. God is our example in giving because he gave his only very best. He gave his very best in his son, Jesus Christ. We follow God's example by giving gifts to people this year, this season. Families spend about $1 million on their kids in a lifetime. When families can give to their kids and loved ones, they feel bad. When we give out to other people, we can help them feel better this season because when we reach out to people, we can make their kids and loved ones feel better. So this is why we should give out to people this season because God wants us to give to others this season. Giving also makes us feel good.
Okay, very good. That was a good story. One of the things that we should always remember, not just at this season, the Bible tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And sometimes if you really give from your heart, you'll understand that. Have you ever had a good feeling when you gave something to someone else,
yeah.
Ariana?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you give to other people, it makes you feel better as well as making them feel better. Because sometimes we want to get the gifts and we want somebody to give us something. But we have to make sure that we are also giving, being givers. So if you could give a gift, Ariana, what would be, I think I'm going to hold that question and I'm going to ask everybody. So be listening and thinking while we go to the next reporter. This is the question. if you could give a gift to anybody, who would you give it to, and what would the gift be? Okay? So the question is, if you could give a gift to anybody, because this season is about giving, okay? If you could give a gift to anybody in the world, who would you give it to? And if you had the ability to give whatever gift it is that you wanted, tell me what the gift would be. But I'm going to want you to just be thinking about it while we go to our next Junior Giant reporter. Our next Junior Giant reporter this morning is Faith. Good morning, Faith. Good morning, Faith.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Tell us, what is your story about?
My story is about why Jesus is important in Christmas.
Go right ahead.
Jesus is important in Christmas because he is the reason we even have Christmas. Christmas is not all about presents and Santa. It's about celebrating Jesus' birth. Without Jesus, there would be no Christmas. That's why Jesus is important in Christmas.
Okay. How do you make sure that you focus on Jesus during the Christmas holiday?
Well, before we, open our presents and stuff, we pray to Jesus and thank him for all he's done for us, and thank him for giving us another year.
Okay. When I was growing up, what my father would do, we would be so anxious, and all we wanted to do, of course, is open the presents. And what we would do is we'd all get up early in the morning, and my father would say, "Just a minute. You know the routine." So we had to get up, we had to get dressed, we had to make our beds, we had to eat breakfast. So can you imagine, we couldn't do any opening of the presents till we did all those things. And then afterwards, what we had to do is we had to read the Christmas story out of the Bible. And so I think that was my father's way of making sure that we focused on the whole point, which is Christ Jesus. And so thank you, Faith, for your story. It is important that we focus on the birth of our Savior, because if it wasn't for him, there would be no Christmas at all. So we are going to go on. I want to go back to the question that I posed to you. If you could give, and I think I'm going to start with Grace, if you could give any gift to anybody, who would you give it to, and what would the gift be? Grace?
I would give a gift to my mom, and because she's went through a lot for us and she's done all that she can do to protect us. But I really don't know what I would give her because she's went through a lot for us, and I don't think there is a gift enough of how much love and how much caring she's done for me. I mean, I'm still thinking about it.
Okay, and let me add something to that question. It doesn't have to be a thing. It could be something like health. It could be something like peace of mind. It could be provision. So it doesn't have to be a specific hands-on gift. So then think about the gift that you would give your mom, Grace, and I'll come back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and so we're going to continue with that question. If you could give any gift, money is no object, ability, God is going to grant it. If you could give any gift to anybody, Ariana, what would your gift be, and who would you give this gift to?
My gift would be to someone at the Children's Health Care of Atlanta, because some of them are suffering through, some kids are suffering through worse stuff than me. Some kids with cancer and some kids with sickle cell also. I would give them toys and let them have, a great Christmas I don't want them, like, to feel bad because they're still in the hospital during Christmas times. I want them to be able to go with their families and spend Christmas with their families.
Okay. That's very beautiful because there are children, and sometimes we forget, even on just a regular basis, not just in the Christmas holiday, but sometimes we just forget that there are a lot of kids that are worse off than we are, a lot of people worse off. There's children with no homes, and there's children living in shelters because their parents have no home or no way to provide a home for them. And so giving is the order of the day. That is something that we should do on a regular basis, but especially at this time. There's nothing more precious than you giving your time. When you give your time to somebody else, that lets that person know that you think that they are important. When you spend time with them, when you take time to just tell them that you love them and that you appreciate them, that does something for that individual. And it would also do something for you. Okay, we're going to continue with our question. Simeon, if you could give a gift to anybody, anywhere, what would the gift be and who would you give it to?
If I had to give a gift to someone, I would give a gift to my grandpa. And I would probably give him, well, everything that he's ever wanted.
What would the gift be?
Anything he's ever wanted, if I could get that.
Why would you give it to your grandpa?
Because he does a lot for me. Like sometimes after school, when he picks me up, I ask him, like on Fridays usually, when he picks me up from school, I ask him, can we go to GameStop and get a game? And he says we can, and then I'm happy.
Okay, I had the opportunity to meet your grandpa. He's a very nice man. Are you very much like him?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you are. You're going to be a good man. Okay, so we're going to continue with our question, and we're going to go to Ariel. Ariel, if you could give any gift to anybody, you could give whatever you wanted to give, who would you give it to, and what would the gift be?
Well, I would give it to my grandmother.
Okay.
Well, I'll give it to my mom's mom. I'll give her the gift. And I don't know if this sounds crazy, but to me, this is what I really would give her. The gift back to life, because she's the person that I really mostly admire for the past couple of years now, because what she was going through. Before she died and passed away, she had was going through dementia, and she was living in a rehabilitation center. And honestly, I don't know how she would do it because my mom and my auntie, they were going through hard times because when they found out she had dementia, it was just a hard time. So I went to go see her, and she didn't know me. I had to remind her. Sometimes she would forget. And it just made me feel sad because she remembered me, but she doesn't remember me. So she didn't remember me until I reminded her. But every day I had to remind her because I forgot. And she couldn't help that. And I understand that she couldn't help it, but it was so sad to just look at. And, when we always left, she'd always stand out the door of her room and look at us. And that would make me sad because I didn't want to just leave her there. And she had a sad look on her face. And I just, when I saw her face, I just wanted to cry. But I was trying to be strong for my mom because I know my mom was going through tough times with my grandmother. So I was like, I just want to be tough. And when she passed away, I knew she was going somewhere great and that one day I would meet up with her. But it's still sad to know that she's gone, and I wish she could come back sometimes.
Okay, I totally understand that sentiment. Me and my daughter have that conversation every day or several times a week because my mother passed away, and if I could have her back for just a second, I would be eternally grateful. But then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, would you really want to take her away from where she is now? And
I don't want to take her away.
Right, because she's in a better place. She's in a place where there is no sickness. She is healed. She's whole, and she's happy. And
yes.
So I totally understand that. I totally understand that you would want to have her back. That's quite a gift. And I just really understand that. Really, I do. Because sometimes you just want to tell them something. When I think about my mom, I just want to tell her. I want to tell her about you guys. I want to tell her about the show. I want to tell her what I'm doing. But God has taken her to a better place, and it gives me peace to know that my mother is healed because she was sick, and it gives me peace to know that she's with our Savior, who she loved dearly, and that's who she wanted, that she lived her life so she could see him, and she is with him now. So that gives me great peace, and I know that gives you peace too, Ariel, to know that she is healed and that she is whole and she's happy. And so that was a good statement. I totally understand. We're going to continue with our question, and we're going to come to Miss Faith. Faith, if you could give anybody in the world a gift, who would you give it to, and what would the gift be?
Can it be more than one person?
Sure.
I would give my gift to my aunt and my grandma, because I would give them the gift of healing.
Okay, why?
Because sometimes they're in pain, and I don't really like to see people in pain, especially the ones that I love. And sometimes I wish it could go away so there could be more happier times.
Okay, I like that. So what if, I'm going to tell you something. I want everyone to listen, all of our people that are out there listening to us this morning. Listen, guess what? God is a healer. And while you may not be like a doctor and give them healing, I want you to start elevating your thinking, okay? I want you to elevate your thinking. And that means raise your thinking to a higher level. The Bible lets us know that when we are saved and we have God in our lives, we have the ability, if we can believe, to lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Now, I need you to wrap your mind around this, okay? You have the ability through the Spirit of God, if you believe, that's the key right there, okay? If you believe, to lay hands on the sick. And when you lay hands on the sick, because you believe, you will be able to see their healing take place. And I think I've shared with you all this story before, but let me just share it real quick. When I was growing up, my mother fell ill, and she literally fell in our house. And in our house, she died. But because my father was a praying man and he believed that everything that's in that Bible is true, because he believed that he could lay hands on her and she would recover, that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what happened. Her heart had stopped. He laid hands on her. Her heart started back. They got to the hospital. Her heart stopped again, and they did all the medical things that they could do, but they could not get her heart started again. She was gone. But when my father went into the room, he said, God, I want you to reverse this decision. Now, he took seven steps backwards. Seven is God's number of completion. He took seven steps and asked God to reverse the decision because she was already dead. They had pronounced her clinically dead, okay? They were taking the machines, trying to get the machines off her that they had hooked to her everywhere. But when my father laid hands on her, immediately the heart machine that she was hooked to started bouncing, showing that she had come back. And then they said because she had been dead and without oxygen so long that she was going to be a vegetable because her brain was without oxygen for too long. But because God is so great, And this is the same God that we go to church and sing about every week. We talk about him every week. But it has to go beyond you're just talking about him. It has to come to a point where you know him and you believe everything that he can do. And because you believe, Faith, Grace, Ariana, Simeon, Ariel, all of you all, because you believe, you can see the power of God work. That's the whole point of Junior Giants. It's time out for us to just go to church and listen to what they say about God and okay and see our friends and yada, yada, yada. It's time out for that. This is your opportunity to take your generation to another level, And it goes through believing what God said is true. Everything he said is true. So, Faith, you want to see the healing in your grandmother and your aunt, and others of you want to see God move. Ariana, there is something, there is a reason that the Lord has allowed you to have sickle cell. But it's going to be for God's glory. In other words, it's going to be so that God can get the credit for what he is doing in your life. And so you need to understand that if you believe, the Bible says, all things are possible to them that believe. So if you can believe it, Faith, if you can ask God and hold on to faith, then you can see the hand of God work. It is possible. And it's possible in your family, my family, okay? And you always want to pray that the will of God be done. And it is God's will that we be in, that we prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. And so I want you guys to start thinking just a little different, okay? I want you to start thinking about what would happen if I just believed God for this. Because the minute you start believing, and it takes practice, okay, because you have to hold on to faith, to believing, even when it looks like it's not going to get any better. Okay? So, Faith, that is a beautiful gift that you would give your aunt and your grandmother. I want you to hear me what I'm saying. Start going in there. Do you guys have blessed oil in your house, Faith?
Ma'am?
Do you have blessed oil in your house?
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to start taking some blessed oil, and I want you to start asking your grandmother and your aunt if you can anoint their heads. And then I want you to start praying for them. I want you to pray for them and ask God to touch and heal their bodies. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This has been a great show. You guys are outstanding young people. And I really want to reiterate something that our guest said today, and that is that God is, he is preparing you for greatness. Okay, sometimes we get sidetracked or we get distracted by things that are going on in our everyday lives. Sometimes school is a distraction, the things that go on. Sometimes our friends, or the friends that we're choosing to hang out with, are a distraction, and they're not necessarily good for us. But I don't want you to get caught up in the distraction. I want you all to know that there's greatness in you. Simeon, do you really know that you are going to be a great man of God?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you want to do for God?
I want to, well, I was thinking of being a pastor as I grow up.
Okay. And that's very possible, okay? And the thing is that you just talk to God. I want to keep selling that. I think I told someone else that this week. Talk to God. Talk to him every day. Talk to him in real talk. You don't have to be, you know, like the older people, oh, God, and oh, you don't have to do all that. Just talk to him, and he'll talk to you. He'll send you answers.
Okay.
Does somebody have a question or a comment that they'd like to make on the show today? No one?
Auntie Sharon, what about the announcement?
Oh, we do have an announcement. Yes, we do. But before we do the announcement, does anybody else have anything they want to say about the topic of the show today? Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Our announcement today is First of all, I want to let you know that we are recruiting junior giant reporters. Several of our reporters are going to age out next year. And before they age out, which means that they can move from being on-air reporters to an administrative role, because they are the foundation of the show. They're the starters. When the Lord, whatever the Lord is going to do with this program, I want it to be known that these young people were the starters. They began it. And so I want them to continue to have a hand in the work on the show. So they will be moving to, once they turn 13, they will be moved to administrative positions where they will be creating the stories. They will be finding, recruiting other reporters. They will be scheduling the shows, things like that. Some of them will even get to host as far as doing what I'm doing as time goes on. And so we are recruiting for new Junior Giant reporters. If you have children that would like to be a part of Junior Giants, please contact me at 678-516-5570, and we can get you the paperwork necessary to have your child be a part of Junior Giants. Also, we are going to be having a cookie exchange during the holidays. So if your child is going to be or wants to be a Junior Giant reporter, this will be an excellent time for them to come in to meet the standing Junior Giant reporters and to be a part of our show. The announcement that we have this morning comes from Ariel and Ariana's Middle School. They are having a toy drive for Loving Good Middle School. This toy drive is going to be held at the Chick-fil-A on Dallas Highway on December 8th. The toy drive starts at 10 a.m. And this has been an outstanding show. We will replay this show again on next Saturday. And then our next live show will be on the third Saturday in December. I want to thank my Junior Giants for their diligence and for their hard work. I pray God's choice blessing for each and every one of them. And we're going to go out this morning listening to our guests. We want to thank our guests for being a part of the show. And we're going to go out this morning playing our guest song, which is What You Getting High For? God bless you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we were absent. Goodbye.
Is upon me, and he hath anointed me to rap. Let me tell you about some guys I know. They was sitting in the back of the church. Once they souls was white as snow, but now they lips is black. Been smoking weed, I've been told. I really don't know why. They used to dance, sing and shout from a spiritual high. The Lord said, what you getting high for?
What you getting high for? What you wanna die for? What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting high for?
What you wanna die for?
What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting high for?
What you wanna die for?
What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting high for?
What you wanna die for?
What you wanna die for?
Know that it's a sin. Some people try to cloak that stuff. They call it medicine. They tell you that they need it, and without it they would die. But God says, don't believe it. They just be getting high. The Lord said, what you getting high for?
What you getting high for? What you wanna die for? What you wanna die for?
What you getting high for?
What you getting?
You ain't got none. Tell me where your homies at.